House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, February 8th, 1984, House Bill 330.
Started. House Community and Regional Affairs will come to order at 318. In attendance is Representative Cato, Representative Blocker, Representative McBride, and myself, Representative Miller. Today we'll hear House Bill 330, an act relating to construction of streets and subdivisions of state land. The prime sponsor is in attendance today. To testify, Representative Neela Copeland. At this time, I'll turn it over to Representative Copeland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a statement here on the bill that's written by Acting Aide at this time. We have an article pertinent yesterday's article from the Anchorage News illustrating the problem. I've met several times with the Department of Natural Resources trying to work out a mechanism we were discussing last year and haven't yet got one worked out. Department of Community Regional Affairs is here today. Title 38, which includes this, is being amended through Senate Bill 375 and is a comprehensive rewrite of Title 38. And would probably include the same, much of the same material. So, it would appear that this bill will probably be folded into that if the legislature so desires. What I was trying to do with the two bills, 328 and 330, was to have specific legislation that would provide certain incremental changes and to deal with specific problems. But if it is the desire of the legislature to look at the entire overall picture, I can understand why my minnow might be swallowed by the larger picture.
Any questions? Representative Cato?
Yes. Milo, in your bill, you have made a provision for municipalities, or for the state to put in the money escrow for municipalities to build roads. Okay, well, let's say that the state makes a land disposal someplace where there are no municipalities. Then where do they put the money in out of the roads to get built?
Well, this was not intended to deal with land disposals outside of organized boroughs. The problem arose that the legislation that dealt with land disposal freed the state from the requirement of conforming to the municipal standards on subdivisions. In the rural area, there being no municipal standards on subdivisions, it's a moot point. I think it's a different point since we as a legislature are the borough assembly for the unorganized borough. We can draw up the divisions, but I think we should deal with them much more specifically in that area. And it would probably, in that case, require the front loading of the accounts. In other words, every time that BNR does make a disposal, we should probably know what it's going to cost the state beforehand and include that in the appropriation to go along with the proposed land disposal. But again, I don't feel that it's the same problem, but it's in a different area and impacts a different population, so it can be dealt with differently.
Representative McBride.
Thank you. Does this just relate to roads? In our area of the state, the reason I asked this question, and we've had no end of problems in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. We have three land disposals, and they haven't. And in our area, we have some. Almost anywhere you build, you got some real problems. It's generally on hills. It's generally from 4 to 8 feet of muskeg on top of solid rock, and it's just a requirement that you have to. Under our rules and regulations from DEC that says you have to have a sewer system. So not only do we need roads, we need sewers just as bad in order to accomplish what we're trying to do.
The previous bill, which was, I believe, passed out of committee and is now in the resource, 328, did require the state to conform to the borough planning and zoning guidelines. So that would require the state to do something of that nature. This bill, 330, attempts to set up a mechanism only dealing with roads. It requires the state to set up an escrow account negotiated with the borough, you know, the amount and everything, which would essentially take the money raised from the sale of lands in that subdivision and set that money aside to build the roads. Now, if in the course of negotiation with the borough, that account was also broadened, I think that would be discretionary. This does not speak to that. It makes it possible since the fund is created any time there's a state subdivision, there's a separate escrow that is unique to that subdivision. Presumably the cost of land and improvements in a more complex subdivision like in Ketchikan would be greater, and that therefore there would be a greater amount of money set aside. But as I say, if that's not in the statute, that would have to be negotiated in each case.
Continue.
This is just a comment, and you would think that it would be easy to give away land. And it's one of the most complicated things to do. I've been working on those issues on the borough assembly, city council, and various committees for, gosh, 8 or 9 years. And you have to realize that, you know, again, there's only so many funds available in the state. From a municipality point of view and a community point of view, I think this is an important bill. But I think we also have to realize that the impact of this is there just isn't going to be as much land disposed of around the state as would be if they don't have to abide by these subdivision regulations imposed in the municipalities, which everybody else has to pay and do. And so I wouldn't want the committee not to know that there are some impacts. It sounds like a good deal, but from a municipality's point of view, and from a legislator's point of view, it's almost impossible. We have 3 subdivision state disposals in my borough. Those people all took them, all said right there that there wasn't any roads or anything in it. Some of the problems it's created is nobody can get on their land till a road is built up there and build a house. They have to have a septic tank that either a collector system or somebody haul out their sewage. Obviously you can't haul it out if you can't get a truck or some vehicle up there. You can't form a subdivision, a homeowners association, until somebody lives on the land. Nobody can live on the land. And it's just created so many problems for our municipality that I'm glad to see that it's being addressed. And that's why I co-sponsored this note. But I would want the committee to know that there probably will be less land disposed of because there'll be less funds to deal with.
At least within borough. And it attempts to essentially to tie down the money that comes from state land disposal to the improvement of the land that is disposed of in that particular disposal, so that it means that there is also less money coming into the state treasury and essentially more front-end money going out. However, it does provide a mechanism whereby the bulk of the financing for the improvement comes ultimately from the sale of lands within a subdivision. So hopefully it will be a wash, but as was brought out last year, to make the fund operable, it will probably require front-end loading by the state of that account. And at the latter end of it, of course, the fund would then pay the state back, but even that is no guarantee. However, it comes back, it would be a better return than nothing. With lacking this, either the state or the local community has to pick up the whole tab. And in the past, it has tended to be the local community having to pick up the tab for the new subdivision, thereby driving up property taxes in a very sort of strange twist. You'd think that with more people, more taxpayers, the property taxes go down, but actually because of the requirements that has hit boroughs for them to pick up the tab that has increased the property tax rate in many areas.
And besides that, everybody else in the community, in most instances, have had to pay for their own improvements, either in LIDs or cash or something else, and these few people don't have to do it at the expense of the rest of the taxpayers.
Representative Phillips.
This is more of a question in general, and that is, I think parent camp's got a bill similar to this, or is it exactly like it?
No, that's a rewrite of Title 38. And there's about 75 changes in Title 38 that that's made. So the, in all probability, this and the preceding bill will be folded into that. These two bills attempted to make small incremental changes.
And then I think Catula
subsumes these changes.
I think Catula's got a similar bill where he, I think it was a deposit $200 for every acre disposed of. Is that correct, too?
That's right.
No, that attempts to set a figure.
Okay, and is there any other piece of legislation floating around other than that?
Nothing
for that subject?
This is different in a way that it requires the escrow account to be negotiated. And as we're just talking about in Ketchikan, for example, the costs involved in improvements in the subdivision may be considerably more than $200 an acre. So
it could be $20,000 a lot.
So I would urge that my bill be put into the appropriate committee so it can, that point can be made that, you know, perhaps part of this may be picked up and put in place of the $200 or whatever.
That's what I was leading up to, is how does your bill fit in the scheme of things. So what you're asking is this committee pass it on to resources, and then when Title 38 comes over, they can look at this, 38 and this one.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to comment that in many cases the state does, in the long run, pick up the tab for putting in these roads when budget time rolls around.
But not consistently.
Consistently, you're right.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to say that in essence that isn't what happens. And I come from a community where many times our piece of the pork, if you will, or pie, is used to put in these roads to these state subdivisions rather than for the people who are the residents of that community. So we all know that pie is cut up and there's no extra kickers. And if it's used for roads that go to state subdivisions, there's nothing left for day-to-day experience.
Any further questions?
I'll move it out.
Seeing none, thank you, Neil. Next to testify is Scott Burgess.
Chairman, members of the committee. If I can just read for the record testimony. The League urges the passage of legislation which requires the state of Alaska to comply with all local subdivision ordinances and regulations in connection with state land disposal programs. The state should meet the same local requirements imposed on private citizens. That's the basic policy statement from the League, and this legislation, of course, speaks to that. It speaks to Alaska Statutes 29-33-150, which exempts the state from capital improvement requirements. I have a question, and this leads on to the testimony. Because of the lack of funding is used as the main reason why state subdivisions were specifically exempted from the capital improvement requirements of Alaska Statute 29-33-150, House Bill 330 provides one mechanism to require the state to provide the funding. I follow that with a question. However, if the money is available to the state to create an escrow account, why not simply remove the state's exemption from the statute and include the cost of capital improvements in the state disposal program? I guess the question is, if the money is there, if you create this account and there's money to put in that account, then presumably there's money to make the improvements. And I'm a little concerned in terms of adding another mechanism to be handled after the subdivision is sold rather than right up front. I think all the issues that the committee has raised and Representative Kokanen has raised are in fact the issues, and I think it's a real problem at the local level. I understand the problem at the state level. At least the Fairbanks North Star Borough has done, and I think other communities have done with their disposal programs, is essentially treat them as an enterprise account where the money that comes from the sale of the subdivision goes back into getting that land back out into the hands of people making those improvements. So yes, there's money coming in from the state, but also from that sale of subdivision goes into an account. My understanding of the problem at the state level is that there is money made from the disposals that does not necessarily go back into the state's disposal program. No, they're only appropriated so much. And because of the historical problem of getting land into the hands of the private citizen, which is a laudable goal, and because of the numbers, I think the exemption was put on. so that that land could get out. The money wasn't there to put in the improvements, but to get that land out into the hands of the people. That's why it was put in. So it's a very big concern to the local communities who are, as Representative Locker has indicated, being stuck with providing those services after the fact, you know, after the people have bought the land. They go out to their, they look at a piece, in some cases we've had, and I'm speaking from my old hat when I was at the Fairbanks North Star Borough, we've had people that bought subdivisions. You know, they see the fancy plat, they see this nice line that goes up, and they drive out on the weekend to find their land, and they don't see that line that's on the paper.
They didn't read the brochure.
Right. No, that's true. It's not
fine print with bold letters, but
it's not fine print, but I think there's still that problem. But anyway, we support the efforts, Representative Copeland, and so that these costs are made up front and people pay for those costs when they buy the lot. Thank you.
Is there any questions?
I don't have a question. I just want to. Can I get on a philosophical bench here?
Okay, follow me.
And Lockett's heard this before. So. If a person's out there knowing full well, you know, I made a sarcastic remark about the brochure, but the brochure does state, you know, you're on your own. So you know, you should inspect the property before you, you know, spend the money or do whatever you have to do to get it. Person goes out there, he obtains a piece of property, and the question I was going to ask is, you know, is it his responsibility, knowing full well the circumstances, to maintain, or if he wants to build a road, he's going to have to do it, or is it, folks, I mean, where is the obligation of the state come in after we put a disclaimer?
Right.
Well, that's real true, and that's the argument for not doing this.
I've read this in schools.
But and like in my case, in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough alone, we have over 300 parcels of land that's been disposed of. There is now a constituency there that says that I want my road. I want my sewer system. And this is unfair to me when I can't even put a house on my property because DEC won't let me, and it isn't my fault they won't let me, and on and on and on, and pretty soon it's darn tough to tell those people that, you know, you gave them a piece of land they can't even use, so you did them an injustice.
But who's, okay, but I'm getting back, whose responsibility?
Saying.
I mean, you go out there, you know, I mean, you should at least spend a little time checking things out, you know?
The other thing, if I may.
No, I'll let Representative Copeland come back up to the table here. He has, he's itching to get back in the conversation.
I wanted to respond to the Municipal League. And
Mr. Chairman, do you think I'm overstepping the bounds? It's ruling out of order.
No,
I
think it's a good discussion. I think it's a good discussion. Continue.
I want one in response to the Municipal League. If you set up an escrow account, you don't have to put the entire money up front. You put in approximately a third to a half, because there is money going to be coming in, so that it does permit development faster of the thing. And the other question, philosophical vein, is that I quite agree with you in the case of non-organized areas. You know, when I homesteaded, it was an unorganized area, and I drove in with a four-wheel drive truck. But we are loading the municipalities with this, and if there is a proper disposal route of land inside of organized cities and boroughs where we require them, the local government, to undertake certain responsibilities, we are dropping the ball if we don't provide them a mechanism. Or the alternative is to restrict land disposal of public lands for purpose of building habitation within organized government areas to the local government. In other words, make them the the authority, give them the power and the authority to do that. I'm not entirely certain that we're willing to do that.
Well, let me ask another question here then. Okay, you distinguish organized versus unorganized. And, you know, each borough or municipal local government has different sets of rules and regulations as far as subdivision development is concerned. I'm not, you know, Anchorage has a real stiff, when you develop, it's got to be curbs, streets, whole life,
right.
The whole works, but Fairbanks is probably a lot different than that. Guy goes up to Fairbanks, finds 5 acres. What's required of him by the borough, North Star Borough.
Essentially, that the road depends on the zoning, but
yeah.
Essentially, the, you know, there could be access roads to meet the the grade and condition requirements that there isn't a waste. Most areas, the 5-acre zoning, they've got an outhouse,
right.
Two rooms in the past, kind of plumbing. You either get water hauled in, which is through much of it, or you have a well, you're responsible for the whole thing. But access is the main thing. You can't go over somebody else's ground.
Well, I can accept the what you just explained, where the local government organized areas have certain regulations which forces the individual into doing this thing. Does this apply just to organized areas, or does it apply to the entire state?
No, it applies only to organized areas.
Well, I've always had a problem with this thing. No one's really, until, you know, satisfied my concerns about the local government.
It just bugs me when you have a tabloid sitting in front of you and you're saying, you're on your own, we're not responsible, and then they come back, and I've had it happen to me from constituents of mine who have land in the Bakers district, and I want an airstrip after they've, you know, I said, I'm sorry.
It's pretty hard if you're a state elected official to be as responsive to that smaller constituency that an assembly person from one little district would be responsive to. And as I pointed out in
the
article in schools, you've got more than 6 children, more than 10 children. The borough is required to build a school for those children if the parents wish to pursue it. So basically what we do is we set up all kinds of things statewide that work for us as state legislators that many times do not work. And when you live in a community like representatives from Fairbanks and Mattoon, we know very clearly. Now, Anchorage legislators are not as responsible to that because they don't have that kind of land. They don't have state subdivisions going in their backyard constantly. I can tell you that when I travel throughout the borough, for whatever reason, I can get 20 people there complaining about their in a state subdivision, and they're either living there now or they're going to move, and they know exactly how many kids are going to be there, and they'd better have roads or else, and they want their project at the top of the capital list. And it doesn't matter where you go in that suburb.
Well, I'm not arguing against the bill itself. It's just something I had to get off my chest, and I finally got a reasonable rationale why we should do it. I just don't understand it at the same time.
Representative McBride?
Just one more point that I wanted to make is I think we've got a subdivision with about 125 lots in it. I think I said 200 a while ago.
Yeah.
I think we have closer to 300 lots in with 3 subdivisions. But in the first subdivision, it had about 125 lots. And when you read the fine print that you were talking about, you assumed, you know, there's, you know, we got to realize that these are lay people who don't understand ordinances and planning boards and platting boards and all of these kind of things. So the guy that's got this lot that he got up on top of the hill way back on the back end of the subdivision decides, now I'm going to build a house, now is the time. He can't do anything until the guy down below does it first. Because he can't get to his property, he can't get his sewage down the hill.
But he should have thought about that before.
Yeah, but we're saying that he should have thought of all these things, but now, 3 or 4 years later, not only that, there are some home sites there which require that he live on there for a certain amount of time before he's being taxed, as it turns out, because on property he can't even use or can't even get to. So, and that fellow's going to be pretty adamant at you and me, and first of all, the borough assembly, and the borough assembly is going to say, it isn't my job because I didn't create this mess. It belongs to the state. And so he's going to be right back here at you and I.
So I already had that experience. It wasn't, you know, the property they were talking about was not physically in Anchorage. So I just told him, you know, you're on your own.
Mr. Right? Chairman. I guess I would suggest to Representative Phillips that we amend this bill to only property in the Eagle River in that community would go for state disposal, and then the rest of us could relax. We wouldn't have to worry, because he'd take care of those people when he told them that he had a brochure printed, okay?
Is there further discussion?
it's the wish of the chair that we move this along into resources so that they can have it when Senator Fahrenkamp's bill, 375, which is the Title 38, which has a number of amendments to Title 38, so that they can look at this at the same time to see if they want to roll it in or not. So with that,
I'll object just for another question here. In here, in the packet, I thought there were some suggested language changes.
There is. If you want, this was written up last year.
Something on this bill.
Can you let resources handle it?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to do?
There,
well,
no,
I'm open
to discussion on the. I'm open to discussion on the amendment, on the proposal. That's fine.
I mean, I don't like sending on work product onto the next committee and hoping they'll catch it.
Representative Cato.
Did Nilo not say that this was probably be incorporated in Senator Fahrenkamp's bill? I would suggest then if there were amendments, they be sent along with that. And all of it be done at once, rather than
the committee's pleasure. I mean, whichever.
I mean, if that's the hope for this bill.
Well, I'm not in disagreement with the bill. I just think the committee ought to, if you want to spend a little bit more time on this, just consider some of the amendments. If Neil feels comfortable sending the proposed language to the next committee referral, that's fine with me too.
Okay. Okay. As of right now, we do not have a motion. Oh, sure.
I like the idea, but I don't quite know how to amend it, or I haven't found those other amendments.
Yeah.
Well, let's
open
it up for the amendment on the discussion on the proposed committee substitute that was drawn up last year.
Second here, we can find it first.
Neil, have you seen that proposed? Oh, okay.
Committee substitute?
It was a proposed committee substitute.
Proposed. Okay, the staff report, yeah.
Here it is, last one.
No, May 27th, I think.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
And that is, speaks only to roads, but you can amend the
That's what
proposed
I was gonna do.
Just to any development cost, and that would make it's within the title and the, it would make quite a useful committee substitute. It further amended to Representative McBride's one.
Can we discuss this just a bit?
Certainly.
What if we said roads, sewers, and other requirements of the municipality
in the fourth line down, to be used to construct three.
Fifth line down.
Why don't you make it broader than that, just say requirements of the local level,
streets and other improvements.
Yeah.
Streets and other improvements.
And strike the word, where it says establish a road service district, just strike road and say establish a service area.
Right,
okay. Okay, so it would read, down to the third line, Commissioner of Natural Resources to establish a service area within the land to dispose of and to deposit money in an escrow account established by the municipality to be used to construct streets and other improvements within the subdivision.
Right.
Is that what
and
reading?
Further down, every place where, for four platted roads, add and other improvements, and next to last line, to construct a road and other improvements.
We might be leaving that a little too open. You might should say other improvements required
Okay, other improvements required.
By local ordinance.
Supported by local ordinance.
Otherwise, we'd be negotiating for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll have that public interest people sitting here.
Just don't bring any ringers in on this last couple of days.
Sorry, it's the end of May, I didn't get back to you to say that the proposed CS was planned.
It's okay, it was downhill all the way from there.
Is there any discussion now on the committee, we'll need a motion to adopt the committee substitute.
I'll move to adopt it with the amendment.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so order. Is there any discussion upon the committee substitute?
I move to pass out the bill with individual recommendations.
Is there objection?
Without Locker's proposed amendment in Eagle River.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. I'd like to announce at this time, due to lack of bills in the committee, we'll only be meeting on Monday and Wednesday. And next week, there will not be a Monday meeting. However, there will be a Tuesday meeting. It'll be a joint House and Senate CRA committee. We'll be hearing House Joint Resolution 59 and a Senate Joint Resolution 34 on the local Boundary Commission disapproving the annexation in Haines, Mosquito Lake, and Juneau.
Those are the sites.
Those are the sites, but it is in Haines, disapproving.
Mosquito Lake,
right.
20 some odd miles north.
Right. So that will be at 3:15 in the Belts Room in the Capitol.
Chairman, don't we have to address the
That's
letter
Monday?
Of the Boundary Commission
Tuesday.
Or else it will all become law? I think we need to address the
There's
entire
a
letter, don't we?
I believe so. We will be, it'll be a joint meeting.
You only have so many days.
Right.
March 3rd is the last day.
Yeah. Right.
Did you say this meeting is Monday?
Tuesday the 14th is this meeting. It's a joint meeting. It'll be teleconference and everything else.
I knew it was in 16th.
Is there any other business to come before the committee?
Yeah, we'll leave the bill.
I'll say 3:15. 3:15 at the Belts Room, in the Belts Room.
I'm going to do that.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.
I'd like to make an announcement, Mr. Chairman. I was so discouraged.